Welcome to Empowering Connections, a podcast by Connie Akins, a licensed professional counselor with a private practice to help you heal your personal and professional relationships through counseling advice, tips, and ideas. Empowering Connections will focus on healthy ways to improve these relationships, help you manage your stress, and attain a better sense of self-fulfillment.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today I have a special guest with me, Dr. Jeff Lipp. Dr. Lipp has been on the podcast several times, and today we're going to discuss burnout and self-reliance. Jeff, tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, what you do, and things like that.
Connie, it is amazing to be on this podcast show over here. This is my third time being on here, so I feel so honored and just elated to be here, honestly. So a little bit about myself. If you heard from me before, I think I was a counselor. I'm still a counselor. I'm not saying that I'm not. But right now, professionally, more than anything like that, I'm an administrator for adult education. So it's a new brand of K through 12 education that I've never been part of before. But for me, I enjoy the journey. I enjoy the experience. And then obviously how you and I connect is through the counseling world. So I'm still doing that on the side, and I still practice and see clients on the side, and it's been amazing. So I get a little bit of administration along with doing the things that I love, which is, again, the counseling piece. And just honestly, very grateful to spend a little bit of time with you talking about life today.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. And for my listening audience, I just want to let you know that there is a podcast called the Dr. Jeff Lipp Podcast. And it's about careers and education and mental health and counseling. So if you get a chance, go listen to Jeff's podcast. And that's a shout out for Jeff today.
Oh, I appreciate the plug. Look at you, girl. And you've been on my show for a very extensive amount of times, too. So I'm just beyond grateful for the knowledge that you and I keep sharing in our virtual spaces. Let's put it like this, in our real world, too.
Absolutely. So today's topic is really critical, I believe, because we've been all experiencing a pandemic for the last 15 months. And Jeff and I are helpers. It's a part of our nature. I consider therapists, social workers, counselors to be frontline workers. You know, we've been out here in the trenches, as some people would say. And so I just want to start the conversation with these thoughts. Do therapists, helpers, and social activists burn out? Because some people feel that we don't have the resolve to burn out. They feel that we can just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. So do helpers have an unlimited reservoir of empathy and patience? Are therapists the authority and creators of healthy relationships, self-care, and self-actualized career fulfillment? Like I said, some people don't think that we can burn out. As therapists, we advise and help those people strive for a better lifestyle, strive for health, and personally strive to succeed. So because of the work that we do and the intensity of it, we are not immune to burning out, which is defined as an imbalance. And I'm not going to get too much into the definition because I want Jeff to talk about it a lot more. But what I do want to say is that therapists are constantly and consistently giving and providing emotional support, empathy, and resources, both on a personal level and a professional level, and constantly working with the emotions of other people. And so I just want to know, do therapists, educators, and pastors, which I would say some of them are more accessible than even therapists, are they different? Do they have a different resolve of strength to perform their responsibilities? What do you think, Jeff?
Well, first of all, we're all human beings. So as a human being, we all experience emotions, and emotions burn you out. Okay. So when I kind of like thought about this topic and everything like that, I just want to relate it back to what you brought up like literally 2 minutes ago, which is COVID. No matter what person you are in this world, you've had a relationship with COVID this past year. Okay. So think about your relationship with COVID. And I'll be honest with you, Connie, I don't know how you feel about this. I'm burned out from COVID. Okay. Like it's a lot. And to see it going back a little bit normal, especially in the state of Michigan, it's been phenomenal, honestly. And so if you think about that from the lens of what we do professionally, we burn out. We all do. I don't care what type of human being you are, what kind of super strength you have. You can feel the level of intensity because especially as therapists, counselors, pastors, anyone that works at human services, you have this level of empathy because you want to help take on people's pain. You want to help them through the emotions that they experience. In all reality, if you're not taking care of yourself, how much help are you going to give to other people? So what I found out just in my own personal experiences is that when I get tired and I get burned out, not only is my physical health diminishing, but my personal relationships are diminishing also. So the reality is we're all human beings. We get burned out. It's just part of life. But if you don't really know what it is, look at your relationship with COVID. And I guarantee anyone listening to this podcast is feeling the level of weight of just burnout from COVID. So that's the same thing we experience as human beings. We just, you know, probably deal with emotions more because of the fact of the nature of the job that we have. But that's the importance of by doing this podcast today is talking about making sure that, you know, I use this metaphor all the time, is that when you're on a plane and they talk about the level of those oxygen masks dropping down, you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you put any other passenger's oxygen mask on our system. So the level of making sure that you take care of yourself is truly important, kind of why we're talking about this particular topic, because personally, you and I talk about this all the time. It's like, we go through a lot, you know? So why take on all these things if we don't necessarily need to? And what is the purpose of taking on all these three things if we don't have direction on where we want to go with our own lives? So you got to put your oxygen mask on first before you assist anyone else. So burnout is real. Everyone experiences it.
I think what you said is really, really true in terms of people are just emotionally exhausted because of COVID. And I think another part of that is that as a society, each individual and each culture has experienced some of the grief, trauma, and actually health disparities in a different way because of COVID. Also, if you think about COVID and burnout, people who have been frontline workers have spent more time giving of themselves. And so my question to you is, when we talk about burnout, what does that mean? Because I don't think that everyone really gets it. And I don't think that some people are able to recognize when they're burnt out.
So one of the ways that I look at it personally, because you can look up any definition of burnout, how I look at it is that if I'm not being the same person that I am based upon my professional life just weighing on me or anything in life weighing on you, then you have to reevaluate why you're in the position that you are in. So let me give you the best example. So when I feel overwhelmed at work, I realize that I go home and I have no energy to do anything else. And it's because honestly, I've given everything to the job and then I've kind of neglected my personal life here. So what I realized then is kind of doing a self inventory of where I stand and saying, why do I feel the way that I feel right now? And it's probably because of work. Or if you flip it, you know, let's talk about a relationship, for example. If you're looking at your relationship and you realize that you guys are arguing, you just feel very emotionally distraught all the time, you have to step away and say, again, do a self-inventory of why do you feel the way that you do? And if you start realizing that, like, this is just too much that I'm taking on, then you might be burned out, honestly. But there's nothing wrong with feeling the way that you feel. It's just a matter of self-inventory and how you want to deal with those emotions. So when I feel overwhelmed and I'm neglecting my personal life, going back to work, and it's like, okay, maybe I need to spend a little bit more time with my personal life before I focus on my work issues. So it's finding that balance. And if it becomes too much, that for me, I know I'm getting burned out. And it's frustrating to feel that way. I can't even, and I talk to you about this, Connie. It's just like, why am I doing all this? Truly, like, what is the purpose? Like, I achieved everything that I wanted to. And, you know, it's about my podcast, for example. You know, I took more than a few months off now from doing a show because I realized the level of just intensity that was going at it. And then for me, stepping away and saying, look, my own mental health is being neglected. And my podcast focuses on mental health. So how genuine am I really right now in my response? So I realized I was getting burned out. So it's just a matter of a lens that you look at it and then basically saying, is this enough or is this too much? And then just really kind of sitting there with those emotions and kind of processing it. Again, for me, when I'm burned out, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, nothing is bringing me joy. And then I realize, okay, if it's not bringing me joy, why am I doing it?
Absolutely. And I think that part of burnout in today's society is the constant demands and expectations that we live up to some of the constraints of being involved in social media. I seem to see people constantly being on the internet, which is draining. We've been reacclimated to a different work environment over the last 15 months, which could be draining, especially if you are a part-time therapist with a full-time job where you have different responsibilities that you have to attend to. And I found that being on the screen was emotionally exhausting, just constantly on the screen.
Right.
And, you know, some people live their life this way. Those people that are social media influencers. And I wonder just what is their level of burnout. But I really want to talk about how can a therapist tell when they need to take time off to reflect, to re-energize, and to refresh themselves. What would be some of the telltale signs of a therapist actually being burned out?
When you are taking on like all your clients' problems, meaning that like one of the reasons I feel like I'm burned out is if a client comes in and I feel like I'm working harder than the client wants to work on their own self-care, then I realize, look, I'm getting burned out from this. This is way too much. So when you normally go see a therapist or a counselor, they're not there to give you advice. They're to help you to process taking actionable steps to recorrect the behavior, the emotion, whatever is going on in your life. As a therapist, as a counselor, if I'm trying to do that and I'm working way too hard, I might be in a level of just saying, look, this is not a working relationship for me and the client, and I need to step away and say, what is going on with myself right now that I need to be either better for myself or for my client? And sometimes it's like, I can't take all the weight of the world on for this person, and I need them to want this as much as I want them for that. So for me, one of the biggest signs for me would be say, I'm not doing my job to my best capability because of just everything else going on. So it's like this, they tell this a lot to therapists and counselors. You can't bring in something that you have going on personally or from the previous session before into your next session because your client will feed off that energy. It's the same thing that I realize that I'm doing. If I'm negative or if I'm just having the weight of the world on my shoulders, I'm not going to be the best therapist for my client. So again, it's just taking a look at where you stand with where you want to be for your client and then reflecting that with yourself and saying, am I burned out? Do I need something else? So for me, that's a huge symptomatic sign that I need to maybe step back and either take a vacation or do something that is for me. Let's put it like that. And then before I can bring my best self for that session.
Absolutely. And I believe too, Jeff, here's a story that a client once told me at the very beginning of our therapeutic alliance. I asked the client, why did she stop going to her previous therapist? And it was very interesting. She said the therapist seemed to be relying on coffee. The therapist was not alert. The therapist couldn't remember too much of what I had said in the prior session. And most of all, the therapist seemed to be really, really tired, you know? And so to me, that meant the person didn't have energy. They were not able to focus as a therapist. And so the client was like, I ghosted the therapist. And I was like, wow, that is a lesson to be learned. Because as therapists, as helpers, as people who are giving empathy to others, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to know when it's time to take a break. We need to know how to relax. We need to know how to refresh ourselves. And we need to practice those self-care habits that we so eloquently give and talk about with our clients. We need to do the same things. And so, you know, I think that as a therapist, if you're excited that you don't have clients today, then that means you need a break. Because it's just saying that you're tired. You know, if you're always running late, you don't have the energy to focus and be in a space and utilize time in the right way. You're tired. You're possibly burned out, right? And then, you know, there's therapists who, if you're listening to your client and you're not experiencing empathy, then perhaps that too is a signal of burnout. And especially when you have clients who have suffered considerable trauma and you're just sitting there like, I don't know what to do or say because you can't ingest it. Right?
No, 100%. Again, I think, you know, I think someone asked me this before, is that do you need empathy to be a counselor? And the answer is truthfully, you really don't need empathy. But let's be honest with you, ourselves, okay? If you don't have some empathy, how do you build that relationship with your client? So what's important to remember again is that any relationship, and I'm not even talking about the therapy world, right? You connect better with somebody if you make them feel like they can trust you with any type of information. So the more vulnerable someone comes in and they're going to talk to you about whatever is going on, even in your outside world, okay? They're sharing a piece with you that's very important. If you're not being empathetic to that situation or trying to walk a little bit in their shoes, then what's the value of them telling you or sharing this information with you? You're not building a lot of trust. So at the end of the day, those are all telltale signs. Again, for me, it's just kind of like reflecting, am I bringing my best self for this client? Truly, am I doing my best for this relationship? And if I'm not, then it's kind of like looking back and saying, what can I do better for myself to make sure that I'm recharging my battery to feel like I can do my job at a better peak?
Okay. So my next question, Jeff, is how does self-reliance help or hinder a therapist who is reaching the burnout phase? The reason I thought about this question is because some people are full-time therapists. And so every client, it's almost like that client has a dollar sign on their head. And so the therapist is focused on helping, but they're also focused on the fact that they have a business and that they're totally reliant on themselves to make ends meet. And so how does that help or hinder the therapist?
To be quite honest with you, if you're a good therapist, it's about making sure you put your priorities first as the client, you know, so the clients become their first priority. The money will come in. I promise you, if you throw a good service out, you could throw a good product out, they'll just keep flocking to you and they'll find you one way or the other. the money will come in. I promise you. It's like anything that exists. I think about this in a concrete world in regards to a product. If you have an amazing product, I just used Flex Seal last night, Connie. Okay. So for my roof, let's play like that, right? Okay. Flex Seal is amazing. Okay. I'm not even gonna lie. I went to Lowe's, picked up some Flex Seal. It does the job. But before Flex Seal, there were other products that existed. Now Flex Seal can sell itself because basically it's there, it's convenient, it's advertised, and people just buy it because of the sheer quality of what it does. Okay. And I'm not a sponsor for Flex Seal or anything like that. I'm just using that as an example. But they talk about this in Shark Tank all the time. If you have a good product, a good service, whatever the case may be, the first couple of years are always going to be difficult, regardless if you are a full-time clinician, part-time clinician, any type of business that you run, you're going to operate typically in a loss. But sooner or later, if you put up quality service, a quality product, eventually what will end up happening is that people will find you and your services will just keep growing because you're always putting the client first and the money will come flowing in.
Awesome. So don't worry about the money, therapist. Worry about having passion for the job and worry about making sure that you're doing a good job.
100%.
So I'd like to end our conversation by asking, what are some of the coping strategies that helpers and therapists can use to prevent burnout?
So I meditate every day. That's something that's built in my morning routine. I really want to just kind of like tap into some time for myself and kind of process my day, kind of reflect on how grateful I am about the things that I have in my life and where I've been and how far I've come. Taking that little bit of time out of my day each day is vital to me. You know, so my spiritual side is very powerful for me in the fact that I just got to levy out that time. You know, in my past, and I'm no young spring chicken anymore, honestly. But in my past, honestly, I didn't do that because I was constantly go, go, go. And I prioritized other things before my own self-care. So you got to take the time a little bit to self-reflect within a day. And then you're going to be a lot better. I set limits for myself all the time now. If I can't literally work anymore, then I say today is what I gave to it and I'm done. You know, so there is always time to do that. And I've taken a lot more time for myself, like either vacationing or just optimizing away from not answering email on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. Let's play like that.
Okay.
Just kind of making sure that I'm prioritizing my own, you know, mental, physical, and spiritual health. So those are just some things off the top of my head that I think that if you put in common practice, it becomes a routine. And all of a sudden your lens in regards to how you're going to heal or do whatever you need to do for your job gets better.
Awesome. I'm going to say this, find ways to balance your time, because I think that Jeff and I have both learned that organization is important. Setting boundaries is important. And I'm going to say chase your passion and not the money.
Right.
You know, because like Jeff said, the money will come. Setting boundaries for your practice. And that can include, you know, limits on your availability, because I think as helpers, sometimes both in education and in private practice, those boundaries bleed because we don't have a set time when we're just not available to people. And I think that we have every right to be unavailable at specific times. And that's times that we want to be unavailable. So, you know, don't allow yourself 24 access to anyone, okay? Unless it's your family. And even they need to have a boundary.
What I wanted to add to that was that you got to practice what you preach. So if you're brainstorming with your client and saying, look, thanks for coming to therapy, but if you're not practicing, maybe taking the time to go to therapy yourself or reflecting on some of the techniques you provide with the client, then how genuine are you, honestly? So for me, you know, talking to someone myself, it's helped tremendously. I feel more, you know, whole, let's put it like that. But you got to practice what you preach, because basically clients know when you're being disingenuous all the time.
Absolutely. And so because you made that statement, I'm going to say continue to get training, because as therapists, you know, some of us got our degrees a long time ago. And if you're not constantly, not even constantly, but more, I could say the word consistently, seeking professional development, and you can do that by several ways, either attending a training, you can do some professional readings. And like Jeff said, you can get supervision, or really, if you're experiencing some life difficulties, you can get therapy. So, you know, it's not unreasonable. And I want to say this, and I can't say it enough. Remember to use the self-care strategies that you give to clients. And also, I think that having either a diverse practice or a niche practice will help you in terms of feeling less burnout. Because when you're doing something you truly love, you don't feel it as much, especially if you're taking care of yourself.
Right.
And my last comment is, realize if you're drained and take a break and recognize when you need to take a break. Because burnout is real. Thank you, Jeff, for being a part of the show today.
Hey, Connie, thanks again for having me. Honestly, I just really enjoy our time together. And every time we talk, I feel like I'm walking away with a little bit knowing more about myself. And, you know, I just appreciate you allowing me some space and time to be on your show. It's just beyond grateful.
Awesome. Thank you.
The Empowering Connections podcast is not intended to replace the need for a professional counseling relationship. This podcast does not constitute professional advice or counseling services. As always, if you need mental health services, please seek a qualified mental health provider. You can find Connie Akins on the websites Psychology Today and Therapy for Black Girls. If you have an iTunes or Spotify account, please subscribe, share, and continue to listen. Feel free to check out Connie Akins' website at www.empoweringserenity.net and follow Connie on Instagram at Connie Akins LPC. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. We appreciate you listening to the Empowering Connections podcast and providing feedback. Stay positive.